This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number three of VSiN Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebefe, Ben Stevens, hanging out with you guys on this March Madness Eve. And you can hang out with us on the VSiN Watch app. Also, check us out, VSiN.com/watch. You can listen 24/7 on Sirius XM channel 158 as we continue to celebrate the NCAA tournament. We are down to 65 teams as Prairie View A&M beats Lehigh. They'll now be taking on Florida coming up on Friday. Still looking for those opening numbers with the point spread. But boy, oh boy, we got some movement in our VSiN primetime game of the night as we are now down to 7 here at Circa. And 6.5, Ben, is now our new consensus number between SMU and Miami of Ohio. But we bring in our next guest to break down that game, Ben, as well as other games throughout this NCAA tournament. Joining us via the Progressive Guest Line, none other than Greg Hoops Peterson, host of the Coast to Coast Hoops podcast on Twitter at GUnit_81Hoops. Happy March Madness to you and yours. Real, I want to ask you about that Miami of Ohio game off the top here because the line movement is happening and we're about 15 minutes away from tip-off. We obviously know B.J. Edwards out for the game, not going to be playing for SMU. The betting market is infatuated with the Red Hawks. Are you at this price of now 6.5?
Oh, I was infatuated before, and I still am. I remember you guys saying to close up our number two, hey, if you like Miami of Ohio, maybe you should take a little bit on the money line. I did so. I think Miami of Ohio has a shot to win this game outright. It's a punch that you win 31 straight games. That's something that can't be duplicated. And for SMU, you mentioned it. Without B.J. Edwards, they backed their way into the NCAA tournament. That's not just their number three scorer. That's their leader in generating turnovers as well. Because for SMU, they are going to have a little bit of advantage with regards to the size, the overall physicality, the athletes. But now you take off the main guy that is able to generate the lone form of defense that SMU has because they're outside the top 150 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. That helps out Miami of Ohio all the further. A Miami of Ohio team that their main kryptonite is their rebounding. They're outside the top 320 in terms of offensive rebound percentage, but it's not like SMU has been some sort of an amazing rebounding team. SMU shoots a three well, but Miami of Ohio is actually pretty solid with regards to perimeter defense as well. I do like this 161 after the over because both of these teams playing at a rapid pace of top 45 in terms of total possessions per game. But personally, I think Miami of Ohio gets a job down here. When I had to pick the first four games, I picked Miami of Ohio to win this game. I've got Miami of Ohio on the money line, so let's go.
Four teams since the NCAA tournament field expanded in 1985 have ever started a D1 men's college basketball season perfect at 31-0. Kentucky in 2014, 15, Wichita State in 2013, 14, and Gonzaga a few years back in 2020-21. Who is that fourth? Miami, Ohio, 31-0 this year before falling for the first time in the MAC quarterfinals. I agree with you, Greg. I think Miami is in this from start to finish tonight in Dayton. When I look at some of your round of 64 plays, I don't see many minuses, whether that's a money line price or a favorite. So let's talk some of those dogs continuing to bark in a round of 64 Thursday, including, Greg, a team that also probably might be worth a sprinkle on the money line. South Florida taking on Louisville without Mykel Brown Jr. for the Cards. How does USF match up with Louisville tomorrow in the opening round?
I think they match up quite well because South Florida, where their bread is buttered on offense, is grabbing second and third chances behind Isaiah Nelson, who gives you 17-plus points, 9-plus rebounds per game. South Florida, a top 20 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage. And I did the deep dive on Louisville without Mykel Brown, who he was missing for 12 games this season. In the 21 games that he played, this was a Louisville team that only lost 5 out of those 21 games. They had gone to at least 74 points in all but one of those games. In the 12 games without him, 73 points or fewer in 4 of them. And this is a Louisville team that is not the same team offensively away from home rather than at home as well. They see a dive with their three-point shooting percentage. They see a dive without Brown out there on the floor. South Florida, a little bit vulnerable country average team in terms of guarding the three-point line. But now for Louisville, you have one less guard out there against a South Florida team that's looking to play at warp speed. top 10 team in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Very stout down low. Top 35 team in terms of opponents, 2-point shooting percentage. I was waiting to bet this game because I wanted to know, all right, am I going to be able to get the money line with South Florida with Brown out, or do I want to take the points? Because had Brown been in the fold, I probably would have just settled with the points for South Florida. But even though I lost a little bit on the money line price, I wanted to know whether or not Brown was going to play in this game because he was that important to Louisville. I took a shot here on South Florida on the money line because I do think that they match up well. And I think that without Brown, this Louisville team just not the same bunch.
Anyway, there we go. South Florida may be one of those double-digit seeds that can make it to the second weekend. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Abebefe, Ben Stevens, hanging out with Greg Hoops Peterson, our VSiN teammate. Coast to Coast Hoops is the podcast on Twitter at GUnit_81. Let's turn our attention to Friday's action here, Hoops. Hofstra taking on Alabama. The Tide, 11.5-point favorites. Total, 159. Obviously, we all know like the arrest that was made earlier this week. Going to be a little bit shorthanded here for Nate Oates' bunch. How do you see this one playing out come Friday afternoon?
Now, I did not take the money line in this game, but I did take Hofstra on my bracket to advance over Alabama. I feel like on your bracket, you have to play it a little bit differently than you're going to your straight-up bets, and that's the way that I operate with this one. Now, I did take the points with Hofstra a little bit before I was able to get better than the 11.5 right now. I still see a lot of value in the 11.5, though, because for Alabama, this is a team that they're going to be very much looking to take a lot of threes. Top five team in the country in terms of percentage of their field goal attempts that come from three. Now you lose Holloway, who was really their best three-point shooter if you look at percentage-wise. And for Hofstra, you've got Cruz Davis, who's able to give you 20-plus points per game. He's one of the best mid-major scorers they're going to find out there. And Hofstra is a really strong team down low. If Alabama decides, hey, we're going to try to go down low a little bit more with one of our main men out, well, Hofstra, top 10 team in the country in terms of opponents, 2-point shooting percentage. And for Alabama, they're looking to get to Sunday. Well, they got Sunday. Silas Sunday down low for Hofstra is able to give you 7-plus boards, block per contest. I really like this Hofstra team. Head coach Speedy Claxton. Yes, the same Speedy Claxton that played in the NBA once upon a time. I think Hofstra is very live here. I do like this total over because Hofstra, they're a top 75 team in terms of points per possession as well. I think that this is going to be an up and down game still, even with Alabama being a bit short-handed, but I like Hofstra holding this game. Personally, I had advanced them on my bracket. Didn't take the money line, but I took the points here with Hofstra, and I do like that over.
When you look at the Crimson Tide, to highlight what Greg just said about how often they shoot the three, only 38.2% of the points scored all season by Alabama from inside the three-point arc. They live and very much die by that three-point line. Greg, in this portion of the bracket, I'm thinking we see some upsets in the Midwest region, not just the 4-13 game between Alabama and Hofstra, but maybe that 5-12 game, Texas Tech without JT Toppin for the big dance, taking on the champions of the Mid-American Conference, John Gross and his Akron Zips. It's only a 7.5-point spread in favor of the Red Raiders. What's the approach to the matchup between Texas Tech and Akron?
I bypassed the points. I went money lined here with Akron. With Akron, this is baby, a high-powered offense that is in the NCAA tournament for a third straight year. Tavari Johnson is able to give you 20-plus points per game. And while Christian Anderson is going to be able to play for Texas Tech, you have to wonder how close to 100% he's going to be. He slipped on that glass floor, which, again, I have no idea why they were doing that in the Big 12. I mean, genius decision. Oh, a glass floor might be slippery. Who could have ever dreamt that possible? But that said, in terms of Texas Tech, they're a team that's been living and dying by the three a little bit more as well, with Toppin out of the fold. Now, Luke Boggenboy is able to give you about a block and a half per game. That's nice, but I do think that for Akron, they're going to be able to do a nice job in terms of holding up down low with Amari Lyles, who's been able to give you 7-plus boards, a little bit of a block per game. Akron not bad at generating turnovers as well. They're a top 100 team with that regard. It's a Texas Tech team that has been shooting it really well from three without Toppin, but that three-point shooting percentage actually went higher without Toppin than with him on the floor. I think that irons out a little bit. I think that Akron has a great chance here with that high-powered offense being top 15 in terms of points per possession to be able to win this game outright. So I took Akron and that total of 156. I like that over as well.
Hoops, we got about 90 seconds left. I want to ask you a two-part question. The first part of it, which one seed gets knocked out first? The second part, what's your final four and who's cutting down the nets?
Florida gets knocked out first. They're going to have a rematch against Vanderbilt. Femi, we were in studio on Saturday, and we saw Vanderbilt absolutely destroy Florida. That is not a good matchup for the Gators. So I've got Florida going out. I wanted to take St. Louis against Michigan. I just couldn't do it. St. Louis was in too bad a form, and Michigan, frankly, got a really good draw. But that said, in terms of my Final Four, I actually have Vanderbilt versus Duke on one side of the bracket. And then we've got a rematch, Purdue versus Michigan. Purdue versus Duke in the final, and the Boilermakers out there in the great state of Indiana. Wow. I've got them winning it all. You look at this landscape this year in college basketball, the 4-1 seeds, they're built around forwards. What wins in March? Guard play, Purdue, they didn't look good towards the beginning part of the season. I believe that they have very much found something here late. You still have Trey Kaufman, Ran, Oscar Clough, that give you 16-plus rebounds per game, a backcourt that has been to a title game before. I think Purdue busts through here, and they live up to that preseason expectation and cut down the nets.
Man, Purdue 25-1 to win the national title. And wouldn't it be fitting
going down
in Indianapolis for the Boilermakers to go out there and get it done, and Matt Painter to finally shut all of us up about all the woes in the month of March. He is Greg Hoops Peterson. Check out his podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, and all the great work he does at vsin.com, as well on Twitter at GUnit_81, where he handicaps every single college basketball game, and that is no exaggeration. Hoops, we appreciate you as always. Have fun, good luck with the bets, and enjoy the madness.
Absolutely. You gentlemen have a great night. Thank you so much.
That is Greg Hoops Peterson joining us via the Progressive Guest Line. Purdue, boiler up, Ben.
Hey, how about that? Boilers Anonymous, Cyclones Anonymous, preseason ticket from last April at 14-1, now 25-1. Boiler up indeed.
He's saying you got life. We will tip things off between Miami of Ohio and SMU when we come back.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have really gone crazy with this one. I'm being told for just $29.99, you can get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks through the tournament, public betting data for every single game, plus sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. But here's the thing. There's already a ton up on the site for Champ Week,
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are moments away from the first four in Dayton between SMU and Miami of Ohio. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebfe, Ben Stevens. Thank you to Greg Hoops Peterson, who joined us in the last segment, giving us his bets, including Purdue, to cut down the nets and win the national championship at 25-1. And how fitting would that be in Indianapolis? But, Ben, like I mentioned, moments away from tip between SMU and Miami of Ohio. It looks like the consensus number will close at 7 here, total 162. Any final thoughts for you ahead of this first four clash? Winner will advance to take on Tennessee.
Again, I think there's a lot to be said about the narrative and the actual rating of Miami, Ohio. They are still a 7-point underdog in this matchup in Dayton. It shows what the odds makers expect against a team from a high major conference like SMU in the ACC. Miami, Ohio has two wins against teams that also qualified for the field of 68, including a non-conference victory as well, outside of their conference win against Akron. Miami, Ohio beat Wright State, the champions of the Horizon League. But in terms of playing these power conference foes, of course, that was the main knock against Miami's resume, the strength of schedule. Well, now's your opportunity to go out and prove that 31-0 was just damn good basketball, regardless of who you were facing on the floor. And I think, Femi, what this game comes down to is the absence of SMU's BJ Edwards, averaging nearly 13 points per game, but 6 boards, 5 assists, and as Greg alluded to, makes them a lot better defensively as well. Via CBB Analytics, VSiN has a great partnership with them. You can go on-off rating in terms of what the actual net rating for a team looks like with insert X player on the floor versus not. But pretty much in layman's terms, to make it very simple, BJ Edwards is one of the best players for SMU. When he is not there, the Stangs are worse by about 13 points per 100 possessions in their net rating. It's not good. for the Stangs, who are 1-5 with B.J. Edwards sidelined due to that ankle injury. I think his absence is going to be felt. And because of that, Femi, I think the Redhawks keep this game close. I would not be surprised to see Miami win outright tonight inside UD Arena.
They just flashed up the graph on the graphic, on the broadcast that SMU, yeah, they've lost 5 of their last 6 games. Yeah. How much do you put into your handicap recent form? Because to me, it almost feels like the college basketball season is like 4 different seasons in one. There's non-conference, there's conference play, there's conference tournaments, and then the NCAA tournament. It's 4 seasons in one. Do you think it matters what kind of momentum you have going into the ultimate NCAA tournament?
Undoubtedly. This is a tournament, right? It is a representation of 6 games and 6 nights if you even play in a national championship game. That is about momentum, especially in short turnaround. So for most of these teams, especially at the high major level, they ended their season or in conference tournament play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday if they made it to a championship game a week ago. Now getting ready for Thursday, quick turnaround in less than 48 hours for a game on Saturday, Friday, Sunday, the splits of the round of 64 and round of 32. Femi, and getting ready for the tournament and going through my bracket and finding those first round bets, a big component of what I looked at, also via CBB Analytics, shout out them and all the great work they do metrically, you can break things down by last 5 games and last 10 games. And I really think that last 10 games, the final 2.5-3 weeks of this season since the end of February, provides a really good sample of what these teams have been, not just in a conference tournament, but beyond that to close out the regular season, where if you were playing for a spot in the big dance, flirting with the bubble, ever important. If you're playing for seed lines or conference regular season titles, you are going to perform on those biggest stages. So for me, using the last 10 game sample size that we see for a lot of these teams, for instance, Ohio State, who opens tomorrow against TCU, has been oh so much better in everything, but especially offensively in its last 10 games than it was prior to the middle of February. But certainly for this SMU side, B.J. Edwards, who played against Cal only 17 minutes, injured his ankle in that game against the Golden Bears. SMU is 1-5 in those games, and we have seen why they have struggled on the offensive side as Miami jumps out to its first lead of the night, 5-4, Femi, about 2.5 minutes gone in Dayton.
A very important lead, as I believe a few folks behind me here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas in the sports book might have bet Miami of Ohio race to 5 because there was a louder than normal cheer for a 3-pointer to make it a 5-4 game 2.5 minutes in, which is the beauty of the NCAA tournament, the race to 5, race to 10, to 15, to 20. It is a very fun sweat. And for those of you who are from the instant oatmeal, instant rice era, a very quick sweat as well with the race to insert number here. So I believe that is what took place behind me because I'm like, either y'all are Miami of Ohio fans or there's some race to 5 action going on. I'm going to go ahead and assume the latter here as we're sitting here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas.
I would also assume, Femi, that there's not many Miami fans there with you in Sin City, as it looks like a ton of them are in Dayton, Ohio, again, only about an hour away from Miami's campus in Oxford, Ohio. SMU is getting its shots up. We knew this game was going to be played at a fast tempo. Both teams top 75 in the country in terms of pace, neither outstanding defensively. For instance, SMU, 26th most efficient offense in the country via KenPom, 91st in terms of the adjusted defensive efficiency numbers. But SMU is playing fast. I think it is going to be a little bit high scoring tonight, as presumed by a total at 161.5. The Stangs at the free throw line right now, they've jumped back in front 6-5. That totals up ever so slightly, fewer than 4 minutes gone in this game, live at 162 and a hook. So the pace that we expected, the offense that we thought we would see on display at least early, getting those returns in Dayton.
This whole thing just brings a smile to my face, man. Like they start the broadcast, they're showing like it's Jordan Kent. Shout out to Jordan Kent. He was an Oregon Duck. The Pacific Northwest, we see you. But he's alongside Jim Spanarkle. And like Jim Spanarkle, when you think of the tournament, there's 3 guys I think of with the NCAA tournament. It's Jim Spanarkle, it's Dan Bonner, and Steve Lapis. Like those guys are like you can just picture them in, like, I don't know where, like Spokane, Washington, or, you know, like one of these spots, just calling a game. The game's going to go down to the wire. It brings a smile to my face, and I love it. As we reached our first media timeout here in our VSiN primetime game of the night, tied up at 7 between Miami of Ohio and SMU. But, like, it's just the vibes of March Madness are through the roof. And I don't know if you saw on social media, a lot of people were sharing this all over the place, being like, oh, like, remember when your teacher would bring in the TV into the classroom or whatever? Like, I never had a teacher that would do that. I just had to skip class and hit up the basketball coaches to go watch the NCAA tournament. Like, that's how I got down in high school and in middle school. But like, that was a part of the experience. And, yeah, it's always been a fun time. And we used to do the single CBS. Now we got the CBS, the Turner involved as well. I love it. And you can, I hope all of you at home listening, watching, can see how much Ben and I love this, because it's the ultimate. Yeah. It's the best.
It really does extend into my core. And it has, because of those deep-rooted memories, Femi, to what you are alluding to. I had a very good relationship with my English teacher in high school, me and a couple of my buddies, Mrs. Ortiz, who was awesome.
Shout out to her.
So our sophomore year English teacher and our senior year art history teacher. I know, art history, what? But still, in senior year, taking art history, we had her twice. So in 10th grade and in 12th grade, we both got to watch the NCAA tournament, all of us together, because we knew Mrs. Ortiz well, and we could ask her, and she begrudgingly, but still, would roll out the TV, and we would watch. It weighed about 50 pounds. Yes. We had to do the rolling, but we would make sure we got it there, able to watch the round of 64. You and I on the West Coast, by the way. I haven't lived on the West Coast through an NCAA tournament in more than a decade, if not close to 15 years by the time I left for Syracuse. I am not used to a round of 64, 9:15 a.m. tip time tomorrow.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I am ecstatic.
It is so good. And I'll put it out there. I know everybody always debates. We all have our favorite time zone. What's the best time zone to watch sports, et cetera. 9:15, it's so good. Like, honestly, 9:15 will show up, and it'll feel like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Because you'll be awake. You'll be wired, and you'll be ready for these games. Like, that's like, I know I'm going to be up at 6 in the morning. I just know it.
Easy.
I know it. Light work. 6 a.m. Doesn't matter what time I go to bed tonight after the show. I will be up at 6 in the morning because I will be wired. I was telling you a little bit earlier. I'm going to go ahead and try to get a workout in because I will be wired, and I know I want to do something that's going to pass the time and make the time go very, very quickly. But, like, that is where we're at with March Madness, and I absolutely love the whole thing. I also love, how about this one, Ben? I love survivor pools. And this year, you need to go ahead and put your March tournament knowledge to the test at the highest level. Splash Sports is offering a $1 million guaranteed in contest prizes in a high-stakes survivor contest. $1,000 to enter, $1 million on the line. It's like NFL Survivor, but for the big dance. Just make one pick per day, and you cannot use the same team twice, which adds a strategic element. And right now, new players using promo code VSINMM26 get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry up to 20 on them, plus a 100% Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close March 19th. Don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use code VSINMM26. We'll keep you updated on the first four in Dayton between the Redhawks and the Mustangs.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is VSIN Primetime. Femi Abebefe, Ben Stevens with you guys on this Wednesday, March Madness Eve. We are so close to the field of 64. Round of 64, some might call it. The first round, others might call it.
Maybe.
Christmas, others might call it.
Sure.
It feels like it to me, man. I get better vibes with this Christmas than I do the actual Christmas. But we are off to an interesting start, a start which is trending under here, Ben, as the live total sitting at 155.5 after closing around 161.5. Miami of Ohio has a 12-11 lead as we continue to go back and forth, and I believe some folks behind me sweating out the race twos. As there's been a lot of energy here in the sports book at the Circa Resort and Casino.
It is really interesting because Luke Skaljak right now, the point guard for Miami, not their starting point guard at the beginning of this year. Miami lost him, but Skaljak has kind of taken the reins. He's got 7 of the 12 right now for the Redhawks. Femi, it's not that either team has not got off quality looks or at least a high volume of offensive looks so far in this game. They're really just not hitting. We're about 8 minutes in. Both teams have attempted at least 15 field goals. SMU is 5 of 17. Miami is 5 of 15. The Redhawks are 2 of 9 from deep. And SMU at this moment is still posting a goose egg from 3, 0 of 6. Just to put that into context, both of these teams are top 33-point shooting teams in the nation this year. 37.4% for SMU, 37.5% for Miami. In both defenses, not all that stout on that side of the floor will allow decently good looks from 3. We just really haven't seen them make it. So it's not because the pace is slower than we anticipated or they're not getting the good looks that we thought they would. They're just not hitting it. And I'll say this, total has dropped as SMU records a bucket to go back in front by a point all the way to 150.5. But right before that basket from the Mustangs, it was 148 and a hook. I mean, I don't know necessarily how low this is going to drop so that maybe we hit the bottom and the seller of this live total to jump back to the over. But again, the pace is there. The shots are there. They're just ice cold right now in Dayton.
It almost feels like nerves with a lot of it. Because like we're seeing some, not just misses, ugly misses. I mean, SMU had a kid in the corner who just airballed it. The corner three, which everyone says is the easiest three-pointer out there, the easiest shot in basketball, just nothing. Airball. doesn't hit any iron. Miami of Ohio just had a bad three as SMU finally broke their scoring drought of 4 minutes. Which that's when you know you're not in a good situation. When they put up that dreaded scoreless in X amount of minutes, that graphic, awful. You do not want to see it, and it hits you like a gut punch when it's a team that you have bet on. Just as we are slandering the offensive acumen of both of these teams, Miami of Ohio just drains a three. Right. So maybe guys are starting to settle in just a little bit as the total sits at 149.5. The live spread down to 3.5. Like that's a pretty quick adjustment real fast. Like it's just a 2-point game. And SMU went off as about a 6.5-point favorite, but we are down to 3.5 with the Mustangs, your favorite. So we'll continue to monitor this game and monitor the scoring output. I have not bet the game. I'm on the other side. That is a deep three. I guess he had to take it with the shot clock going down. Didn't notice that as, once again, an air ball for SMU. So it's a Miami of Ohio crowd. SMU, I don't know if they're rattled or just nervous, but the Redhawks look nervous as well. We are on the precipice of the madness, and I'm excited. I have a pretty big card coming up. We'll get into all of our best bets to wrap up the show later on at 9:45 Eastern. But there are some games I left on the cutting room floor. Some games I look at and I just say, I'm not so sure. What game is that for you where you're just like, I struggle with it. I don't know if I can get there on either side because I can't really make a case for either side. Which game is kind of giving you the most trouble with the games that we know right now of the round of 64?
Again, I think it's the very first game of the round of 64 tomorrow, 12:15 p.m. Eastern time in Greenville, the 8-9 matchup in the East region, Ohio State and TCU accordingly. Right as the bracket dropped on Sunday, I'm like, oh, I love this Jamie Dixon team. I think the Horned Frogs have the funniest, but also one of the most quality resumes based on those signature wins all year in the sport. They lost their season debut to New Orleans. They have neutral site victories against Florida and Wisconsin in San Diego. They've got a home win against Iowa State, a road win against Texas Tech mixed into the equation as well. And I really think that TCU, because of what they do defensively, presents a lot of challenges for any opponent they might face. And then I started diving more into the numbers. When you look at the Buckeyes, as we talked about just a little bit ago, Femi, in the last 10 games, this Ohio State team, the most efficient offense in the Big Ten over the final 10 games of the year, the last 2.5, 3 weeks, they are by far playing their best basketball when they absolutely needed it the most. They had a 4-game win streak snapped by Michigan in the Big Ten tournament quarterfinals, still covered in that game as a double-digit dog, only losing by 4. They have covered in 8 of their previous 9, entering the Big Dance as well. I'm starting to look at the Buckeyes, who construct their offense more from inside the arc. They shoot nearly 58% from their 2-point field goals. Bruce Thornton, John Mobley Jr., 2 of the best in the country at getting to the hoop. TCU allows more than 51% of opponent points this year from two-point range. That plays right into the hands of the Buckeyes. And yet I still cannot bring myself, Femi, to lay 2.5 points with Ohio State or, heck, even pick them to advance in my bracket. This game has me in an absolute pretzel. I am glad it's the first game of the day so I can really just sit and enjoy it. I think I lead Ohio State, but my bracket has TCU again. I think either outcome is just going to be drastically wrong, whatever I eventually end up deciding to do.
It does feel like a real, because I feel like both teams in TCU and Ohio State, I don't think they can beat Duke, but I think they could actually give Duke a little bit of a game here. That turnaround from playing a 16 to an 8 or a 9 is one of the more jarring turnarounds that you'll find in college basketball. Like, these other teams have been grinding. Even if you're like a 4 seed playing a 13, at least that 13 is somewhat capable to some degree. Yeah. Like, the 16, it's like, all right, man, like, unless you're Purdue or Virginia, you know, like, usually teams take care of business against that 16 seed. But, like, then all of a sudden you turn around, and for Duke's case, this will be going from Thursday to Saturday. It's like, whoa. We're playing like a legitimate team now. Like, let's wake up here. Like, this is a little bit of a shock to the system, but it's just picking who that team will be between them, TCU and Ohio State. Like, I agree with you. Like, I lean TCU, but I just have not, I don't have the conviction to make a play either way. I will say this, though, about the Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Bruce Thornton is one of those kind of dudes that could maybe go on a run here. He is tremendous guard. And like that, to me, makes Ohio State just a little bit dangerous. I'm not there with them like beating Duke or doing anything like that, but it at least makes them somewhat dangerous. I'll say the game for me here, Ben, that I just want no parts of. It's Utah State and Villanova on Friday. I'm just, no. I'm good. I'm not in the game of laying points with a Mountain West team. And Villanova this year has just been like whatever, meh, average, whatever verb you want or term you want to use. Yeah. Like, Villanova is just kind of mediocre to me. So it's just hard to kind of get involved with a team and in a game where I'm not really sure Utah State should be laying points, even though I think they're the better team. And I'm just definitely not going to be betting Villanova as Miami of Ohio has gone on a run to make this a 20-13 lead. Timeout, SMU.
That was one of the coolest plays that you will ever see.
SMU coughs the basketball up.
Miami takes it away. A bad outlet pass in transition, kind of. But Peter Suter, one of the best and a first-team All-MAC performer for Miami, gets to it, basically saves it on a bounce pass that gets through the legs of an SMU defender, and then Ian Elmer basically alley-oops it into a layup that drops. Miami now leads by 7. 20-13 over SMU, as basically everybody for the Mustangs is struggling on the offensive side of the floor. But most importantly, Femi, their leading scorer, Boopie Miller, 0-5 from the floor, 0-2 from deep. He's got a goose egg. He's got 0 points in this game. Just can't happen, especially in the absence of BJ Edwards. And it is happening with 8-12 remaining in the first half.
Yeah. And you can tell the environment. We talked about it, how it's going to be pro Miami of Ohio. This is a home game for them.
Yeah,
it really is. Because I'm sure there's probably some neutral observers there, maybe from like the 16 seed games and all that stuff. Yeah. They're probably rooting for Miami of Ohio as well, because everyone likes the story. So buckle up, Mustangs. You are playing a road game in the NCAA tournament first four in Dayton. It has not gone off to a great start for SMU. Speaking of Prairie View A&M, who won in the earlier game in the first four over there in Dayton. We now have the openers that are out there for their first round game against Florida. The number is big. It is a big number. The Gators are laying.
More than 30?
How about 35.5? Florida is a favorite. 35.5 total, 155.
Yeah. So the reason that feels fitting. The Panthers do not want to shoot the three, that being Prairie View A&M, only about 30% of their field goal tries this year from deep. Femi, they only took 9 in the victory over Lehigh. That's where things are going to get dicey against Florida.
They will get dicey indeed. I'm not sure what the betting trends say for that one, hey, but if you need trends, VSiN seed-by-seed betting trends report gives you the historical trends, key stats, betting angles for every matchup, everything you need to bet every round smarter. And the best part, it's completely free. Download yours today for free at VSiN.com/download.
The This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Miami of Ohio flexing their muscles against SMU early on here in this first four game in Dayton. The Red Hawks have a 20-13 lead coming out of the under-8 media timeout here in the first half. The Red Hawks, though, now your favorites. Minus 125 on the money line. Mustangs minus 105. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Ben Stevens here with you guys on this Wednesday night, tracking our VSiN Primetime game of the night. And early on, a little back and forth, couple of nerves out there, but it looks like, Ben, the Red Hawks have settled in quicker than we thought the Mustangs would.
And they have the atmosphere, Femi, at their disposal. It is loud inside UD Arena. You and I cannot necessarily hear the broadcast, but we can see the reactions. We just saw a really cool play a little bit ago, and out of the under 8 minute media timeout in the first half, bad foul call on Boopy Miller late in that shot clock. We'll see if Miami can take advantage, but they have certainly started to find their stride offensively, something we cannot say for the Mustangs. And it feels like it's getting late early for SMU offensively. Is that another three ball from Ian Elmer for Miami?
Sir.
It is. It's a double-digit lead with 7 minutes left in the first half for the Red Hawks. Maybe there was something to playing 31 games in the regular season and winning all 31.
Yeah, right? As SMU finally responds with a three of their own. So it's 23-16 here with under 7 minutes to go right now in the first half between Miami of Ohio and SMU. Did you see FanDuel, the promotion that they were running there as a that's an air ball. That's not great. FanDuel was running this like promotion that on any money line bet that you make, if the team that you bet on the money line goes up by 10, I mean, my goodness, Miami of Ohio can't miss now. I mean, shot clock winding down, contested, three ball in your eye hole. It's now once again a 10-point lead, which brings up the point I was about to make, is that FanDuel, on any money line bet, if the team you bet on the money line goes up by 10, you get an instant payout. So for those of you out there, if you bet Miami of Ohio money line over at FanDuel, you now will be paid out regardless the result the rest of the way. Like, it's kind of a cool promotion. It's like, obviously, you understand why they're doing it. You know, you want people to like to increase volume and all that stuff for the handle. But kind of an interesting sweat here, and adds another wrinkle for those of you who are betting the NCAA tournament.
That is a very fun thing, though, if you have a team like a Miami that is really good offensively and you can get out to a hot start or go on a run. We know basketball is a game of runs. The 10-0 run is literally quantified now by Evan Mayakawa, called a kill shot when you score 10 consecutive points. So there is a lot to that, at least in college basketball terms, that makes a ton of sense. I'll just say this, Femi, looking at the live odds that we have right now on DraftKings, totals 151.5. As we shared early, it wasn't as though the pace was slow. It's not like they're walking it up the court and both sides are doing uncharacteristic things in the half court set. It wasn't as though they weren't getting good looks. They were just drawing iron and missing badly. But now as it starts to pick up, our total is back up to 152.5. We saw it at its valley at about 148 and a hook. I'm thinking we see some points just based on the frenetic pace. Maybe we wait till the half, but I would not be surprised if at a certain juncture it makes sense to get in on a live over because these offenses seemingly are going to pick it up.
I kind of want to wait for the half just to see like what these next 5 minutes look like, but I agree. I definitely would not bet the under. That's for sure, because if we get a competitive game as well, you know, in the NCAA tournament, they will foul all the way till the end. Like down six with 4 seconds to go, foul. Like, you know, like that's the kind of stuff. And like that could easily get you over a total as well. So I am picking up what you're putting down there with a live over. I think I want to see these next 5 minutes first. Because at first I went into this game thinking, all right, like I kind of want to bet the side. Let's see if maybe SMU gets out to a lead and we can back Miami of Ohio. Clearly, Miami of Ohio is not going to allow me to go ahead and do that as they keep knocking down threes. And heck, who knows? Maybe we're not even able to get to the halftime because both teams are now once again on fire. So we might need to bet this over now. I might not be able to wait. as we're talking, like this might be an emergency. Like, let's get the apps rolling here while we're talking because this bad boy might get right back to the closing number by the time we get to halftime.
That was such a cocky three-point shot from Brant Byers for Miami, who caught it from about 25 feet out and stepped right into a three and drilled it. Finally, for SMU, Boopie Miller now on the score sheet, hitting his first triple of the game. He is now one of six from the floor, one of three from beyond the arc. So we are flying from three. 19 of the 27 field goal attempts for the Redhawks have come from deep. SMU allows 47% three-point rate. How many field goals you attempt come from beyond the arc to its opponents? It is bottom 25, or at least the 25 most in college basketball defensively. And Brant Byers and the Redhawks are taking advantage, but SMU is now answering. We've got 34-25 right now, Miami in front, but I think SMU is going to have another answer from three. Back and forth we go. Femi, live total, now 160.5.
I bet over 159.5. I am now officially in on this game. I think we just had to pull the trigger now. And this is like doing this stuff live and talking about it. It's like hey, like I have an idea in my mind, a strategy. Let's wait. Let's get some more data points. I think we got all the data points that we needed. These teams are going to be chucking. And now that they have settled into it, like they are knocking down shots. The one caveat that I will put out there, like on this over bet that may make things tricky, is that there's not a whole lot of fouling going on in this game. So the teams are not going to be living in the bonus. I mean, like SMU has two fouls. We're under 3 minutes to go in the first half. Like it almost feels like the pace is too free flowing and there's not enough guarding and not enough defense to where we're not going to be able to get the cheap points at the line, but boy, we might not need them if these teams are going to keep going back, throwing haymakers from beyond the arc. Cause all those nerves from the first about 6-7 minutes, they're gone. And we got ourselves a really fun game now.
Every time I look at Miami defensively, they are flying all over the place. Sometimes it results in a turnover. Other times it looks like it's their first time ever playing defense in the history of their basketball careers. I mean, they are flying. They are not closing out. They're running past people. They are doing everything they can to cause a little bit of chaos. But when you miss, it results in good looks for the Mustangs. Femi, I said earlier, both of these teams shoot better than 37% from three, which is both top 30 in the country. Miami slightly better, 37.5%. SMU, 37.4%. But the Mustangs don't necessarily want to take a ton of threes, which is what we are seeing here. 29 field goal tries for SMU, only 11 from three. They are 3 of 11 in those three-point attempts. 29 field goal tries as well for Miami, Ohio, 21 of 29 from three. Both teams have made 13 field goals, converted 13 field goal tries in this game. Both are 13 of 29. It's just that 8 have come from 3 for Miami, only 3 for SMU, because the quantity has been so much higher for the Redhawks. Again, 21 of 29 shots in this game from 3. It is clear Travis Steele and his team had a plan, and they are sticking to it.
Hey, let's keep chucking, boys. That's what we're looking to do. Volume shooters are what the Redhawks are. And the SMU, if they want to hang in this game, they're going to have to do the exact same thing. Well, hey, tell you what, VSiN Sharp Week, it gives you everything you need to bet every round of the tournament and bet every round smarter. VSiN's March Mania betting guide is out now. And in this year's guide, profiles for every team, trends broken down for every round, strategies for brackets and futures from VSiN's top experts. You can download the guide right now for just $19.99, or become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get the March Mania betting guide included, along with the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get your guide now at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. As we are watching this game here, Ben, between Miami of Ohio and SMU, which we are now at the final media timeout of the first half, do you give either of these teams a puncher's chance against Tennessee in the next round? Because the winner of this will take on the six-seeded Tennessee Volunteers. Like Miami of Ohio or SMU, do you think they can make a deep run in this tournament, or maybe just pull off a first-round upset?
Femi, it's a great call, and it's a great question to ask. In my bracket, I have presumably Miami, Ohio winning in the first four and beating Tennessee. But that is a heartstring decision, not necessarily a head decision. I just love this Miami team and what they represent, and I want to believe in the Hawks carrying what was a fantastic regular season to a Cinderella run here in the NCAA tournament, basically silencing the haters and the doubters, of which there were many this year, for Miami. Bruce Pearl, namely, who is sitting in studio and watching this game play out as we speak. But Femi, it's one of the reasons why I like Miami tonight to keep this game close, because SMU plays their style. They allow the three-point shot. Miami can hit the three. They're going to play fast tempo. We know that Tennessee and Rick Barnes, very difficult. One of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. The Hawks don't really have that size. They play slower. They run you off the three-point line. It's not a great look for either Miami or SMU, the winner tonight in Dayton. You would just have to hope that your overwhelming volume from three is hitting at a very high rate, and that would be the great equalizer.
Yeah, I don't see either of these teams being SMU maybe, but with the injuries, it seems unlikely. But Miami of Ohio, I don't think they're going to do anything against Tennessee if they take care of business here against SMU. We will begin our number four when we come back here on VSiN Prime.